Well, if you would now, please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. We're considering just one verse from the end of this short little book, just verse 17. And again, we're going to spend just a few moments together tonight, not as lengthy of a treatment as we would normally have, just a short time together considering this office of elder and what God has done in providing for us elders as we are shepherded throughout this life. Let's give our careful attention to the reading of God's holy word, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. As you well know, we are gathered here tonight for the sake of seeking the Lord to provide for us additional elders. And as we heard in the call to worship tonight, when the Lord Jesus was exalted on high, He gave gifts to men. Some of those gifts were the shepherds and the teachers. And as we heard in that call, that is for our growth in grace. It's so that we can seek to and grow unto the full maturity in Jesus Christ. Jesus, as the King and head of the church, provides His church with shepherds and teachers to lead and to guide us. He does this by providing men who meet the qualifications found in Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3. Among a myriad of other qualifications, these are men who must manage their households well, because if they're going to serve in the management of God's house, they have to be proven in this respect. And so tonight, as we seek to add elders for this congregation, we want to hear from the Word of God in just a few minutes who elders are and what they are called to do. Recently, I was reading an article about this man who had a long bike route to work. He commuted on his bike. And he said there's this one particular stretch of road that he didn't like because there was a very, very narrow shoulder that he had to ride on. He had only about 18 inches between the white line and the bank that fell off on the other side. And he said he would hear, he could just hear behind him large trucks coming down the road, and he knew he had to stay upon these 18 inches. He went on to comment about how if he gave any attention to his left, to the lane that he needed to stay off of, he would inevitably begin to just drift over there. And likewise, on the other side, if he paid attention to that bank that was on his right, he would begin to drift over there. And so the only way that he learned that he could stay right on the center of that 18 inches was to focus upon his front tire and the middle of that 18 inches, one singular focus, would then translate into the manner in which he rode. If he got divided, he would be all over the place and it would cause danger. But if he remained focused on what he was supposed to be focused upon, it would translate into him riding appropriately and being safe on that road. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 13, just in verse 17, we see some very important things that elders are supposed to focus upon. We'll consider two of them tonight. But those two things that elders focus upon then translate into their manner of shepherding. And then thirdly, tonight we're going to see how that then translates into the congregation's life. What are we as members of this congregation to then focus upon? And how does that translate into our manner within the church? So first, we need to understand that elders keep watch over your soul. That is their first focus. Their focus is upon the health and well-being of your soul. As you can see in the passage tonight, God provides elders who are there to keep watch over your soul. He provides men who are dedicating their time and their attention to the care of the souls in the local church. And while there's a great many things that can fall to the attention of the elders, it is incumbent upon elders to keep your soul as one of their most primary concerns. They must not allow their attention to drift to the left or to the right, because that would begin to spell danger for you and for your own soul. They must keep focused. But that focus of theirs, your soul, then translates into their manner of watchfulness. These are elders who are keeping watch. It's an ongoing call for the elder. They must continually keep watch over your soul. And this idea, this language of keeping watch, should call to mind two biblical ideas of keeping watch. The first is that of the shepherd. This is one of the primary imageries that the scriptures use to speak of elders and of keeping watch. God prepared David to be king by training him as a faithful shepherd, and he wasn't the only one. Jesus described himself as the good shepherd, and he then becomes the model for each and every elder. Elders are called to be shepherds whose shepherding and whose watchfulness and care is modeled upon Christ, the good shepherd. The second imagery is that of watchmen upon the city walls. The watchman was positioned upon the city to keep watch and to guard the city. He was there to call the city to action if there was a threat. He's there to provide rest when there is no threat. The watchman is one who labors while the city's inhabitants rest. The watchman must remain diligent and attentive to any potential attacks upon the city. And as elders, we are called to be watchmen upon the walls of the church. We are to provide and to protect for the church, guarding against attacks which might come our way. And if necessary, the elders may call upon you, might call you to action because they see something threatening your soul. If nothing else threatens, they're there to guarantee that you can find your needed rest. And maybe an obvious question we might ask at this point is this: why? Why do we need watchmen? Why do we need shepherds? Well, there is this temptation that we discussed this morning in our worship. And that temptation is that we will be deceived by sin, seeking to find some amount of temporary glory in this life. And it's a feigned glory, it's fake, it's not real. It's what temptation dresses sin up to be in your life. It's sitting there during the difficult times of this pilgrim journey and inviting you to do something to transgress the law of God, to find relief. Well, elders are here. They're here to help you be on guard against those sorts of attacks. Sin and temptation is very, very appealing. It's very subtle. It's very deceptive. And that should be an obvious reminder to us that each and every one of us are susceptible to the deceptions of temptation. And we're not meant to walk this pilgrim journey alone. Instead, we're called to be shepherded along this journey. And elders have that as their calling. They are to give themselves to a tireless watchfulness aimed at your eternal happiness and the glory of God. Again, this is God's design. This is God's provision. He's given elders to guard and to keep you as they seek to shepherd according to His word. Well, second, elders will give an account. This is the second focus of elders. Their first focus is your soul, but their second focus is your God. Every elder should have this idea at the forefront of their mind every time they're acting in their within their office. Every elder will give an account for how they exercised their office. There are men currently serving, which I'm sure that strikes fear into their hearts, an appropriate kind of fear. And men are going to be elected tonight, and I want you to hear me. You will give an account before God for how you exercised your office. You don't lead so that this church becomes what you want it to be. But rather, you lead according to the Word of God, following the great Shepherd, Jesus Christ, so that this church becomes what He wants it to be. This focus that elders will give an account before God translates into their manner. As they are held accountable before God, their leading must accord with the Word of God. Elders are only in authority within the church because they themselves are under authority. The elder does not shepherd according to his preferences or his desires, but he shepherds according to the Word of God and in manner consistent with the Good Shepherd. Elders, both serving now and those called tonight, we are called to image Jesus Christ to this congregation. And if you say, I can't do that, you're right. That calls us to complete dependence upon the Spirit of Christ. There is no room for self-confidence, no room for self-seeking, no room for self-preservation. In fact, you are called to lay down your life for the sake of the sheep, just as the Good Shepherd did. Being called as an elder is being called to do something that is indeed beyond your capacity. You are called to lay down your life for the sake of this church. Jesus loves this church. He laid down His life for this church, and they are precious in His sight. And so you, being called as an elder, you are called to imitate Him and to share in His love for this congregation, relying upon His promise to you. My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in your weakness. There's this common sentiment among entrepreneurs that goes something along the lines of this. I started my own company because I couldn't take orders from someone else. I couldn't stand being micromanaged. I couldn't stand doing it any other way than my way. Now, this commonality among entrepreneurs often produces a lot of great startups. But over time, those companies, once they begin, rarely have the great leadership from that entrepreneur because he cannot lead. That entrepreneur cannot lead because he cannot follow. They hate accountability. No one is fit for good long-term leadership who is not first fit by submission. No one is fit to be used by God in the office of elder who is not first fit by God by being completely submitted to Him. And so as we gather tonight to seek the provision of elders, we need to ask, are these men submitted to God? Because as we answer that question, it helps us answer another. Have they been fitted by God so that they are ready to require of us submission to God's Word, the same submission that they themselves give to the Word of God? Well, the third thing that I'd like us to consider about elders tonight is that elders serve to your advantage. Now, we'll have to explain that just a little bit here in a moment, but you'll see that you actually play a part as to how elders serve to your advantage. This verse before us, verse 17, is a call to each and every one of us to obey and to submit to the elders of the church. Now, it's important to note that elders is plural. We submit to a plurality of elders, what we call a session. They are together to gather together to have collective wisdom and collective insight from the Word of God as they seek to shepherd. But we are called as members of this congregation to obey and to submit to the elders who are over us and whom we are entrusted to their care. And you have control over whether or not this is to your advantage. Look again at verse 17. It says, "Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." How you obey and submit to your elders actually plays a large part into how that will, their shepherding will be of advantage to you. So that brings me to your focus. Your focus in submitting to and obeying your elders is the same focus as that of your elders. It's your own soul, and it is your God. Those two ought to be your focus. The elders are called to a watchfulness over your own soul. They are called to focusing upon your God, and the tension between giving an account for their shepherding is to translate in how they shepherd your soul. But the same is true of you. You are called to give careful attention to how you obey and how you submit to the leadership of the elders in your life. They are God's design and God's care for you. That ought to translate into the manner in which you embrace the leadership that God has placed in your life. You ought to eagerly embrace God's care. The office of elder and the oversight of elders is no human invention. This is God's design for the care of His church in this world. And you need to understand that this design and care of God is aimed at your good in this life and then your eternal happiness. And that comes by way of your submission and your obedience, aimed to make it a joy for your elders. But I do want to make some qualifying or clarifying comments about this obedience and submission. Sometimes we can hear those words and they can grate against us. That might be, on the one hand, not so good because we're just Americans and we hate authority and we struggle with that idea. But we just need to learn to move beyond that and recognize that this is biblical. But on the other hand, there may be reasons why those ideas of obedience and submission grate against us, and that can be because there have been many who have abused the biblical ideas of obedience and submission, and they did so for sinful ends. They abused and oppressed others by twisting these biblical categories and ideas for the sake of their own pursuits, for the sake of their own kingdom. And that should never be. What this verse is calling to us, or calling for us in terms of obedience and submission, is the kind of obedience and submission that is rightly understood only after the godly leadership and oversight is first rightly understood. Elders are called to provide oversight in such a way that those under their care can easily submit to what God is calling them to. Not easily in the sense of sin and temptation getting in the way. That does make obedience and submission hard. But elders are not to make it any harder than sin tends to make it. So what does that mean? Well, it means two things. Elders must lead according to the Word of God. That is the scope and boundary of their leadership. They care for your soul by using the words of the Good Shepherd. And second, they lead according to the pattern of the Good Shepherd. They care for your soul by providing the leadership that mirrors Christ's, how He shepherds His sheep. Elders of Tri Lakes, this is what we are called to. And men elected tonight, this is what we are called to. And frankly, this is what leadership looks like in the church, no matter what leadership position you hold. It could be the leadership position of father. It could be the leadership position as husband or even as mother. But what does that mean for you as members of this congregation? Well, it means that you ought to eagerly embrace the shepherding that God has provided for you. You are to yield to God's provision for you. And to be clear, it's not a mindless following. It's following and submitting in the Lord. You are to test everything that we say, whether in preaching, teaching, or counsel, against the Word of God. But in so doing, you are to submit and obey. That word obey is actually a harder word to translate than the simple English word obey. It contains the ideas of trusting and following, but I think also very importantly, it contains the idea of a willingness to be persuaded. Are you willing to be persuaded by the Word of God from your elders? That's what godly obedience looks like. That you are oriented towards your elders, seeking their shepherding, seeking their help, that they, by the Word of God, would help you to see what is according to the Word of God, and then you would eagerly embrace that counsel. Do you see what the writer to the Hebrews says here about motivating you to submission and obedience? He says it's to your great advantage to do so eagerly. It's to your advantage to cooperate with God's design for shepherding in your life. So do you desire that kind of shepherding that is to the advantage of your soul? When this passage speaks about shepherds or leaders who can either lead with joy or groaning, I want to clarify that as well. This does not mean that you don't bring up questions. This does not mean that you don't open up your life and share your struggles with the elders. It doesn't mean that you don't take up their time. It doesn't mean that your life doesn't require the help of the elders. Rather, what makes their service a groan is when you don't embrace God's design for their leadership. So engage your elders. Let them into your life. Do you struggle with a besetting sin? Share that with your elders that they might shepherd you, that they might shepherd and care for you with that sin rather than believing the lie that it'll somehow take care of itself on its own. And late, maybe years later, finding that you've made a mess of your life. Do you have questions? Bring them to your elders. They will be eager to answer them. They will help you answer these questions with the Word of God. If you're struggling in any way, open up to your elders. Share with them that they can walk with you. And even if you've been blessed by God, share that with them too and let them share in your joy. You can make the service of your elders a joy by simply embracing God's design for it. Well, in closing tonight, let us seek together elders who will watch over your soul as those who will give an account. Let us seek faithful men tonight who will shepherd this growing church according to the Word of God. Let us with faith look to the risen Christ to give good gifts to His church tonight. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we do ask that as the Lord Jesus has risen on high, that He would give good gifts to men tonight. Lord Jesus, we pray, asking that You would care for us as a congregation of Your people. As I've mentioned tonight, You love us more than any of us could love the others. And so we ask that in Your care of us, You would provide faithful men who will shepherd, giving careful attention to the souls under their care, who will also keep a constant focus on the fact that they will give an account for how they exercise their leadership. And we pray, Father, that in so doing, you would provide for this church. We pray that you would do this by leading us tonight by your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.